the Pentwater camp out, and services up at the campground will be at 2 o'clock as well. I don't know how many of you are going to come up to the campground. Hopefully, a lot of you will be up there. Always a good time, and we look forward to that. So August 20th, we will be up at Pentwater at the campground. Just something for you to pray about. We're going to try something over in Grand Rapids. We're going to have a public Bible seminar on August 24th. We're going to see if that's going to be profitable as far as people who are interested in what's going on in the world. And that's going to be really the theme of what we're going to talk about. And so we'll see how that goes. If that's successful, we'll look into it over here in Lansing as well. So just something for you to pray about. Also, prayer requests. Kelly Eystone, many of you know, who attends in Grand Rapids, fell this week and cut his head, and was asking for prayers on his behalf. He said he was doing fine. Had 6 or 8 stitches and no serious permanent damage. And I was kidding Kelly and said, how do we know? But he said he was doing fine. Also for Andy Nichols, who's still in the U of M hospital, who they're going to try one more drug. The drugs that they've been using with Andy have not worked. So there's one more experimental drug they're going to try, and Andy has agreed to try that. So please remember the Nichols, Andy and his mother and the whole family in your prayers, if you would. This has been a really a long, ongoing trial for them. So talked with Annetta quite a bit last week, and, you know, she trusts God as well as many of the family members, and so they put Andy's life in God's hands, and what a better, no better place for that to be. So please remember them in your prayers. Perry Betts, who is in Kalamazoo, ended up back in the hospital this week because of breathing problems. He'll be there for about another 3 days. And this weather really takes its toll, because not only does he use a lot more oxygen, but it's just harder for him to breathe at all. So please remember him in your prayers. He's made it to church, I think, maybe 3 times, and has really enjoyed being there the times that he's been able to make it. So he looks forward to that every week, and just hasn't worked out like he was hoping it would. But I know with your prayers and God's intervention, he'll be able to attend more. I will put this copy of the e-news back on the information table. A couple of things here that it brings you up to date on Mr. and Mrs. Kubik's travel to Western Australia, Singapore, and Malaysia. Also covers some of the things that are going on in the camps that you might be interested in. So I'll put it back on the information table for you. I was thinking about what Josh was saying and talking about all of these electronic components, and until I heard him speak, I was feeling pretty good, because I finally learned how to set the time on my VCR. I'm kidding. But that's about where I feel like I'm at with electronics. Pokemon Go, no danger of me ever playing that game. I don't know what it's about, and I would be the one to walk out in front of a truck trying to find him. So, but I heard a couple of the stories that Josh had mentioned about people, you know, having accidents while playing that. And that's quite something, how people get so involved in something like that. What I wanted to talk about today is anointing. Does God heal today? Because sometimes that's questioned. Well, God healed back when Jesus Christ was on earth, and he performed many miracles, many healings. But does God still heal today? You know, my mother first began listening to Mr. Armstrong in the late 50s. And she was excited to hear a minister who actually taught from the Bible. And she, along with many others, would get her Bible out and follow along, reading scriptures with him, taking in and digesting what he was talking about. And as a new teenager, the last thing on my mind was religion. You know, that's for Ma. That's not my deal. Because I was more worried about today than tomorrow. What's going on today? But every once in a while, wasn't anything going on, so I would be home and I would listen to the program with her on the radio. And Mr. Armstrong was talking about healing. And the whole program was about that. And he did mention as well, if a minister wasn't available, that you could ask or send in for an anointed cloth. Didn't think much of it. You know, it wasn't anything I was really interested in. But he did read, and something that that caught my attention, he read from James 5, if you turn there with me, James chapter 5. Very familiar verses. James 5 and in verse 14. It said, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So that kind of stuck with me. Didn't have it memorized or anything, but I just remembered what Mr. Armstrong had said. I had a very good friend. Actually, he was my brother's brother-in-law, and I would hang out with him a lot. We were the same age, and his mother had just had a new baby, and there was something wrong with the baby. The baby was having breathing problems, and the family was really concerned. The doctors weren't sure what was going on, what to do to correct that. So I got my buddy there, and I said, hey, I heard this guy on the radio saying, you know, if there was a thing going on like this, that if we sent for an anointed cloth and prayed, that people are healed. And so we did that. We agreed between the two of us. We didn't say anything to anybody else, but between the two of us, I sent away for the cloth and just kind of waited. The baby, in a few weeks, came home, had improved some, and then in the mail, I received the cloth. So I got it, went to his house, and neither one of us really didn't know what to do with it. And it had a little instruction with it, so read that. And when we could find that there was no one else around and we could go into the room where the baby was, we went in and prayed and anointed the baby. And after that, the baby, you know, the baby continued to improve, and we heard many people saying, well, isn't it amazing how this baby just got better on its own? And him and I would just kind of look at each other because we knew what we had done, and I still believe all these years later that God healed that baby. And that God was there and God did what he said he would do. We never, to my knowledge, ever told the baby's mother what we had done. And we, after we grew a little older and stuff, we pretty much forgot about it. But I think about it from time to time. When I'm anointing someone or someone's sick, or we read about someone, prayer requests come in. And just wonder, you know, does God heal? Is he still doing and performing these miracles as Jesus Christ did? God's people face many health problems today, along with the people in the world. A lot's going on. We hear about these new viruses, this new disease caused by mosquitoes. I was trying to think of the name of it and it just went out of my... Zika virus. Continuing to grow as a threat. The medications we have now are not able to deal with the infections that people are getting because the infections have grown so strong that the medication that we have now does very little to fight those. We have St. Jude's Hospital full of little children with cancer. And how can you not help when you see those commercials that your heart just breaks for those kids and their parents? And St. Jude's is one hospital. There are many more full of children suffering, and children all over the world suffering from all kinds of diseases, illnesses. And although our medical doctors have done much and still do much to accomplish wonderful things, they will never be able to accomplish what God can accomplish. You know, we prayed when I was 15, my mother had cancer, and we prayed for her healing. That didn't happen. And although we prayed for God to heal her, we understood, even at that time, I understood that He would do it in His own way and in His own time. That we would pray and ask God to heal, and then it was up to Him. But we look forward to seeing our mom in the kingdom when she'll no longer be crippled from polio as a child. She'll no longer suffer from the disabling effects of a stroke, and she'll no longer have cancer. And God will heal her in His own time. Just as all of our loved ones will be healed, all of those loved ones that have died from diseases, from all of the things that take place around this world, will be healed. Should we as members of the Church of God continue through our faith, though, in 2016 to rely on God for our healing? Or has medical science increased in knowledge so much that modern medicine can do it all? Those are decisions we have to make. Matthew 9:12, Mark 2:17, and Luke 5:31, Jesus Christ said, "The sick are the ones that need the physicians." Of course, He was talking spiritually here. But He was relating to doctors, to physicians in His time. If you're not sick, you don't need a physician. If you're spiritually healthy, you don't need God. But we know that's not the case. We know we need God. We know we need Jesus Christ. And we know from time to time, we need to see a physician. We need to get a checkup. See how the body's doing. Ask for advice. Ask for guidance. The Apostle Luke is called the beloved physician. He had a good reputation. He wasn't looked at as a quack, or somebody who didn't know what he was doing. People looked at him for advice, for guidance, for help, as we do our doctors today. Certainly they'll never replace God as far as healing. They can't. But we can certainly take advantage of their education, their training, to help us. Always asking God to guide and direct what they do. I've heard people throughout the years in the church say about someone else who had been anointed and wasn't healed, well, they must not have been healed because they don't have faith. Is that a fair call? One example of immediate healing is found in the book of Mark. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 40. It says, then a leper came to Christ, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He's asking Jesus, are you willing to do that? Is this your will? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed or be healed. So right there on the spot, this leper was healed. So we must conclude, if we think a lack of faith will cause God not to heal us, that this person must have had plenty of faith. But what about those people who live their lives obeying and serving God all of their life, whose faith is unquestioned by their example? What about those people? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. Here Paul is seeking healing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had asked for healing three times. And he was told his faith was sufficient. That for whatever reason, God's will was not to heal him. At that time, God's call. Paul asked. God chose to do it his way. And we know in the resurrection, Paul will certainly be healed. But God chose not to do it at this time. And Paul was a man of faith. So it wasn't because he lacked that he wasn't healed. 2 Samuel, if you turn there with me. 2 Samuel in verse 12, or chapter 12. 2 Samuel in chapter 12. King David had a child that without God's intervention was not going to live. And King David sought healing. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 15. So then Nathan departed to his house and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became very ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. David pleading to God for healing, beseeching God for that healing. And in verse 18 it says, then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And they were afraid to tell David. Those who served him were afraid to tell him because of what might happen, his anger. And in verse 19 it says, when David saw his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went into his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Didn't waver in his relationship with God. He knew that what he was asking was God's will, and it would be done according to God's will. And he accepted that. And I've mentioned this before, but with our granddaughter, and from the time our daughter was pregnant, we knew that there was going to be a problem. We knew that she would not live for very long. And we prayed, because we knew that God could, if that was his will to do that, he could heal her. She'd be born a healthy child, no problems. We prayed for that, and we believed that. We didn't doubt that at all. But on the day she was born with the problems, and she lived 25 minutes. But we had 25 minutes to hug her, to kiss her, to tell her we loved her, and she died. God, in his wisdom, did his will. We didn't give up. We didn't quit asking God for healing. We didn't quit asking him for blessings. We continued to do that. From the beginning of his ministry, Jesus Christ healed people. That was part of his message, of his gospel. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 23, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Part of his ministry. That's what he did. In Matthew 8, if you turn over there with me, Matthew 8. And in verse 16, Matthew 8, and in verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him, brought to Christ, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And we know Jesus Christ took that upon himself at his crucifixion, when they beat him. By his stripes we are healed, through that sacrifice and through that suffering. There have been many others mentioned in the Bible who have been healed or had family members healed. Many examples for us. Many were healed by touching the hem of Christ's garment. Just touching what he had on. That's in Matthew 14:36. In Matthew 15:30 it says, multitudes of people were healed by Jesus. Matthew 8:14, Peter's mother-in-law healed. Matthew 8:7, Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Healing was part of his ministry. And that's what he did. Setting that example. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And because it was a part of his ministry, he was going to pass that on. And he did so. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. So those who were sent out by Christ, those 12 disciples that were sent out, were given that power to do that through the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus gave his disciples the power to cast out demons and to heal the sick, just as he did. But is that where it stopped? Was this power to heal people just given to the 12 disciples and no one else? So let's look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And in verse 8, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. So they were given that power, that authority to heal the sick as well. Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 and in verse 17. Mark 16 and verse 17. Says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So again, an ongoing ministry of healing by the authority of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of God. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can take that, and what Christ did back in his ministry, his earthly ministry, he still does today. He hasn't changed. In Acts 28, if you turn there, Acts 28, Acts 28 and in verse 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and he healed him. Paul continuing on as the others did, continuing with to have that power that was given to him of healing. Mark 6:5 says that Jesus Christ laid his hands on people and they were healed. Also in Mark 6, if you turn there with me, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark 6 and in verse 12. Mark 6 and verse 12. It says, so they, talking about the disciples here, so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Again, part of their ministry, healing. It was just part of who they were. Part of their responsibilities as ministers. We read in James 5 about our responsibility, what we're to do when we're sick, that we're to call on the elders of the church. But I wonder sometimes if we in the church of God take that to heart. And realize God means that. He's sincere about that. You know, we look at Revelation 12:9 that Satan has deceived the whole world. Well, we're part of that world. And we have to be careful. And as Josh mentioned, we have to know what the Bible says. We have to believe it. We have to live our lives according to God's word. And healing is part of that. And asking God to be a part of that healing process is part of that. you know, some of the old timers, and I've been guilty of that myself. You know, you're sick, you're hurting, you don't know what's wrong, but you don't want to bother somebody. I don't want to call somebody, man, you know, it's late, it's, you know, they got better things to do. But that's not what God says. And I appreciate, when I get a call from somebody, I appreciate that they took that step. Because that shows where their heart and their head are. It's in the Word of God, because they're doing what God said to do. They're calling for anointing. They're calling for God to be involved. And their trust is where it should be, with God. King Asa is a prime example. And in 2 Chronicles, it talks about him and how he trusted God for a lot of things. Went to God for guidance, direction, when he was going to battle. But when he became deathly ill, he turned to someone other than God. He turned to the local witch doctors, whatever you want to call them. And he died. Not sure why. Because of his example, he had always turned to God and trusted God. And then for whatever reason, he chose not to do that. But there are many, many things modern medicine can provide. I don't know about you, but I'm in awe when I see what modern medicine does. It's just amazing. And I think about, how do these people get that much knowledge in their head to be able to perform these, you know, these things with their hands, with their knowledge of medicine, the knowledge of how our body works. And no doubt there are many times, and I've read some articles that say 50% of the time doctors are wrong. So they're right there with weathermen. That's why we can't rely on doctors alone. We certainly have to put God first and rely on God. God for that guidance, God for that direction. But certainly, I've talked to many people, many doctors and nurses and people, as I'm sure you have, and very dedicated people. People who want to do nothing more than to help. That's what they want to do. But God certainly is the one that can make and guide them and help them as they help us. Mr. Armstrong wrote that the true function of a doctor should not be to replace God as our healer, and we know that. Doctors don't replace God. Doctors don't heal. Doctors can treat. We break a bone, it heals. The doctor said it. He didn't heal it. God can heal. God can take away and change the course of our lives. There's an epidemic of drug overuse in this country. We hear about it all the time. We read about it. We hear about it on the news. I remember one little town in West Virginia, and many of you may have seen that. And if you've been in the South at all, you know people down there love their doctors. They trust them. But in this one little West Virginia burg, the line was around the block. People getting their medication, pain medication. And when they talked to them, none of them had seen a doctor. They had all been given prescriptions for their pain medication. Big money. But all of these people suffering from the addiction of those drugs. And we've all seen the results of too much medication. Destroys our bodies. doesn't do us any good. But that we're a society who has become addicted to medication. It's epidemic. But we as Christians must look to God's word for guidance on what we should do when we are sick or injured. God first. That's the place we should go. We're told in Philippians 2:5 to let the mind of God be in us. To think like God. What would God expect me to do in this situation? We're also told in Scripture not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. To take what He says about everything, including healing, and put it to practice in our lives. God says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without that trust, it's impossible to please Him. And it goes on to say that those who come to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He is and will do what He says. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's our loving God. And healing is about trusting God. Having that faith. God created us. Everything that we are, God created. Who else could take care of us as well? Abraham had that faith, that trust in God, that he was willing to sacrifice his son, knowing that God would handle that situation. God would make it right. But he trusted God that much. Could we say we would trust God with our life's child? Or our child's life? At our hands. Abraham did. What an example of faith, of trust. Getting to know God through our prayer, meditation, and study will allow us to develop that trust, that relationship that can only help us increase our faith in Him. We must trust and believe God. That should be at the core of who we are. We trust and believe God. James 5:15, as we read earlier, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Seeking God's healing, seeking His will to be done. But what we believe or don't believe, and what we do or don't do in our life, is tied to our trust in God, or our lack of trust in God, whichever. And we can't pick and choose the promises of God we will believe and the ones we won't believe. When God makes a promise, He delivers. So we don't have to worry about that. I'll believe Him this time, but I won't believe Him the next time. And we all live according to our level of understanding. We're all individuals. We all have that personal relationship with God. We're all at a different place, working to achieve the same thing, and that's eternal life. But we must trust God. We must turn to Him not only with the little problems, but to turn to Him and trust Him with the big problems, which include our lives. What we should be doing as a Christian is on our knees praying for God to heal each other. And I told that to Annetta. And I said, you know, shame on us. Because of what you're going through and what others have gone through with their health. And as family, as fellow Christians, as brothers and sisters, why am I not doing everything that God has given me, every tool He's given me, why haven't I used that on behalf of her son Andy? More prayer, fasting, more study, beseeching God daily on his behalf, or any member of the church. Why don't I do that better? Because God's the answer. But that's on all of our shoulders to do that for each other. To seek the healing that only God can give for one another. God hasn't promised when or how he will heal us. Our obedience to God is important in our relationship with him. And God can and will hear our prayers and intervene. And I know many people, including my family, that God has intervened and God has heard our prayers and God has healed and God has just been there. And I'm sure many, many people in God's church have experienced the same thing. Acts 19, if you turn there, Acts 19. Acts chapter 19, and in verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them. So God thinks of everything. God takes care of us. You know, a lot of the people, and I really didn't understand it when I first began to anoint people, and I would get a call from one of our elderly members, and they would say, could you send me a cloth? And I'd say, I'm happy to come there. I'm happy to come there in person and do that. No, that's too far. You don't want to do that. And I was just so thankful that God had given us another means and to send these anointed cloths to these members who were trusting God for their healing. But they didn't want to, for whatever reason, to inconvenience anyone. But they still had their faith in God. Our faith first has to be in God for healing. God first. We can go get advice. We can go get an opinion about treatment or about what's wrong. You know, sometimes we will pray for someone and we're really not sure what the problem is. We don't know what we're praying for, and they will go visit the doctor and come back and have a real close idea of what's happening, what's going on with them. And we'll pray again and be more specific in that prayer so the doctors can help in that way. They can give us advice on what to eat, what not to eat. How can we be healthier? Because we all need that help. I don't have the answers to everything about being healthy. Certainly look to other people for that. But I'm very pleased when I get a phone call or an email when someone's asking to be anointed, because it shows me where they're looking for that healing, where their faith is, where their trust is. And it doesn't matter what it's for. You know, that's between the person and God. And just as Christ sent ministers out to help and serve the people, that's what ministers do, serve the people. But let's not leave God out of the picture. Let's make sure we turn to Him. Seek His advice. Seek His guidance. Seek His healing. And involve Him all the way. The main thing is that we involve Him, that we trust Him, that our faith is in Him when we're sick, when we're injured. That we call on the right person. That we call on our Heavenly Father and ask Him. Put this on Him. That's what He's asked us to do. Give it to me. Let me be a part of this. So does God heal today? Yes, He does. He wants to be a part of that. That's part of the message that Jesus Christ brought to mankind. Healing was part of that. So when we look at God's Word, let's take all the promises God made, including healing, and put that in perspective in our lives as Christians, as people who have the Holy Spirit of God and understand Scripture and can discern godly things from worldly things, and put God first in our lives, because God will never fail. We know at the resurrection, as Scripture says, when all things are made new, there's no more diseases, no more death, no more pain or suffering. And the world will be healed. But right now, we have that opportunity, we have that understanding to know to turn to God and trust God above everyone, to be a part of our lives. And healing is a big part of that. So let's trust Him. Let's show Him where our faith is. And not only on our behalf, but for each other as well. That we make sure we pray for each other and beseech God to be a part of others' healing as well. None of us want to go through trials that some of us have been through and some are going through. And without God, I'm not sure how we would handle those things. But because we have God and we have Him available, we're able to do that. So let's pray for ourselves and let's pray for each other in these times when we need God's healing hand to help us maintain our health and to continue on toward the kingdom of God.